Namaste friends, good morning. Today I have pulled out this book Enlightened Living. The subhead says The Self-Realized State. This was one of Rameshji's last books, I think perhaps maybe a year and a half before his passing. And I think it's a gem of a book. And I found interestingly that in this book, what I underlined was just only rather sentences, one-line sentences. Usually I tend to mark paragraphs or full pages, but here I kind of noticed that there were very specific statements which gave me tremendous insights. And before we explore some of these quotations, I would like to add here that one benefit of being in proximity to a sage is that you can see the way they live. You can see how they walk the talk, so to speak. And one gains tremendous insights when one is with such people. I have even noticed this on my trips to Kashmir, where I am in touch with a couple of what you would refer to as Peer Babas or Fakirs in the Sufi tradition, in the Islamic tradition. We don't really understand each other in terms of language, but when I spend considerable time with them, I get a sense of how people are with them, how they are with people, simple interactions like, this one Fakir Baba asked us for if he'd like some tea, and we said yes, thinking it's part of where he is, but he went out of his shop himself to a neighboring shop, picked it up and got it back. Simple things like this. I do know that it's difficult if someone has a master who is a prominent public figure, then it does not allow that proximity, that intimacy to happen, where you can see how the person, how the master is living their lives. So once again, I feel this was really a benefit of someone who was easily accessible to all. And besides giving open talks in his living room every day, it was fairly easy to approach him. So now, regarding enlightened living, here are some pointers. The first thing I have come to is, the sage does not lay up treasure. His riches are within. The more he gives to others, the more he has of his own. He is considerate of the ideas of others, never forgetting the essential unity. He lives in the world, yet remains withdrawn. He lives in accord with mankind, yet remains himself. Very clearly, Rameshji is pointing out to the traits of enlightened living. And I found that description beautiful. Here's another one. Nothing is taken personally, and thus nothing can offend any longer. Peace and harmony prevails. The next one. It is distinctly noticeable that the sage, in his daily living, seems to do his routine work not only effortlessly, but extremely efficiently. This is really not difficult to understand. The thinking mind of the sage being absent, the working mind of the sage is not hampered by illusory fears creating unnecessary problems in an illusory future. You know, this again reminds me of there were sometimes books we were working on together, me and Rameshji, where because I had other commitments at work, I was not able to do it at the pace or speed that he would have liked, because he was someone who I would say was impatient in the sense that he really wanted, once he handed over manuscript, he wanted to see it coming out as soon as possible. But at the most, what would happen is he would call me at about 8:30 in the morning and just ask, oh, how is the manuscript progressing? And I had to say, oh, Guruji, you know, I'm sorry, but I've not been able to devote time and it'll take some more time. And he would just reply, oh, all right, of course, it's okay. And he would put the phone down. And sometimes this happened on a particular book 3-4 times, but his response and engagement with me was exactly the same. There was no, build up of, you could say, impatience or anxiety to the point where he might have said something else. So that was quite beautiful to see also. We go on here. Rameshji says, his attitude towards everyone is uniformly courteous. His attitude is always that of uniformly unbroken equanimity and tenderness towards all living beings. He does not go overboard when something pleasant happens, and nor does he go into a fit of depression when something unpleasant happens. Friends, I think these are really beautiful pointers, and they are so simple. And that is why Rameshji would say beauty in simplicity, which I firmly believe is the mantra to live by. And none of these pointers seem to be at a unreachable height or seem to be unrealistic, but simple living, simple way to deal with situations, to handle situations that come up in life. And one can really glean how a sage lives in that simplicity, that ordinariness of daily living, without making much of a fuss about anything. That is why I found this extremely beautiful. We go on then. Having turned his mind away from dwelling on thoughts, words, deeds, knowing them to entirely exist on the relative plane, the sage has become indifferent to external activities, then of unnecessary words, and finally of all unnecessary thinking. This is again a tremendous pointer. For one's own self, as the understanding deepens, one realizes that there's less and less to say. Because earlier what we said was so much in the realm of involvements and opinions and judgments. Now when all that goes out of the window, then all that dialogue ceases. And one will naturally find oneself being quieter. That has been my experience. That has been the experience of many I've shared the teaching with. And that is a beautiful, I could say, byproduct of the teaching. Because, you see, the quietening down externally is obviously a reflection of the quietening down internally. And that is really a gift one can savor when that starts happening. So the unnecessary thinking which Rameshji has referred to and pointed to is the involvement in the thought, the involvement in the duration of time. That stops happening. Unnecessary words. You see, first of all, accepting the concept of non-doership. When hatred, malice, blame, jealousy, envy, pride, arrogance, guilt and shame, when they all go out of the window, there is naturally so much less to say, because there is so much less you feel that you used to feel. There is so much less now, because this concept of non-doership has been accepted. The concept of understanding that there is a will far greater than my puny will, when that is accepted, all these things start quietening down. So truly, it is no wonder that Nisargadatta Maharaj said that realized people are very quiet. So friends, let's end on this note today. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as I have. Thank you.